Good morning. I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. This is Friday, the 26th of July. And present is Commissioner Brooks, Commissioner Van Beek. We have a 9:30 agenda item, and it is the continuation of fiscal year 2025 budget workshop number 2 for Parks, Cultural, and Natural Resources Department. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. So if we entered in the changes and notations on workshop one, and are we starting with those edits?
Correct. Power plant's opening. It's.
You must not have the preferred connection. Yours has way more junk in it than mine.
It's scrolling. Okay, there we go. Mr. Chairman, we have all of the updates have been placed in. I think a major one was a new position was added, so that's reflected in the new reclass position line. There was also, where's the other? Oh, one of the things I promised, I think Commissioner Van Beek, which would maybe be more in a revenue workshop or a workshop next week to talk about what's not budgeted as revenue, is that transfer from the landfill, which hasn't happened yet for the current fiscal year. And it's just one of those things that, even though it's not in the budget, it's been the historical practice, so we will have to talk about completing that transfer. I think yesterday, not to make this about something different, in the quarterly budget report, I think one of the, Mr. Ivers reached out, and I think he was listening to the audio and heard that we were applying interest back to the Emergency Communications Fund, mm-hmm. but I said it wasn't budgeted, and I think there was concern, like, is anyone thinking about not giving it to us? And so this highlights a concern I have, where I feel bound by the budget as it's approved. And if something's not budgeted, technically, unless someone tells me to go ahead and send the money there, but historical practice is kind of guiding, oh, it should have been budgeted, it was just a miss. That's where I'm kind of left, kind of like, I don't know what to do with this. But all that to say, there is a $30,000 potential revenue that would go to Nikki's budget, which affects, you know, what her budget is. But that's not in her budget line right now as far as showing that as revenue. She's realized the revenue. So whether you budget or not, it's been realized revenue. So it's affected her fund balance amounts. There's been this realized revenue that's come to her. So,
and Chairman, can I ask a question based on that at a high level? But that practice, historically, going backwards, she's had availability for that, even though it hasn't been reflected on her revenue line, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Any unspent monies in this budget, this fund, is retained in fund balance.
Okay.
So.
And are we making directors aware of what their fund balance availability is?
That would be a good question for Treasurer Lloyd, because she generates kind of the fund balance reports monthly. I don't know how many EOs, directors, take a look at those monthly fund balance reports, but they're available and, you know, they're put on the record.
Okay.
So I don't know if she sends a friendly nudge. Hey, FYI, this is what your fund balance is.
Yeah, and I understand. And
I'm a little bit nervous taking off in this direction under this agenda eyes business. So we can agendize that or have it in some future. But
that sounds good, Chairman. I think that's a conversation that's worth having.
I know. I share your curiosity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I'm not saying that it isn't something that we need to have figured out.
And Chairman, can I just, as a tag, when we have that meeting, the debits and credits for those fund balance amounts that are reflected on the treasurer's report would be important for knowing what's flown in and out of there. So I understand you're absolutely correct as chairman that needs to be a thing, but that report really doesn't have a lot of value to the people looking at it unless we know what's transpired in and out.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
May I just want to give some context. I've thought about this a lot.
Right.
Because I was unaware of that. But I believe it has that this money from the enterprise fund has to do with the fact that that piece of property used to be owned by the landfill. And because Parks was maintaining it, running it as a gun range, I believe that's the connection.
Right.
And then we purchased, we meaning my department, was asked to purchase that property so that it was in Parks. And so I think that that's the historical piece there, just to provide some clarity on that.
Okay.
And Chairman, I don't disagree with the reasoning behind it. I'm struggling with the transparency that was there because the gun range is also part of what Parks manages that was cut from the gun range. So again, that's probably something that the gun range committee needs to look at as far as closure, if that ever happens. There's a whole lot to unpack with Nikki's budget and getting directors and elected officials up to speed so that they understand their budget and they own and know what's being levied and what they can and can't do. That's a conversation that has to happen, I think.
All right. Yeah, Nikki, I would agree with that, and it makes sense. Okay. Moving right along. So do you have anything new this morning?
Well,
uh-oh, Rick is your equal in crime.
Director Britton, one thing I just, you know, Rick and I have mentioned this is that you know, a number of these projects are just taking way longer than they should for a myriad of reasons. You know, the Waterways Improvement Fund grant, we've already gotten extension on that, has really delayed a lot because of drawings and permitting to do anything in the water, right?
Right.
But that grant, again, is a reimbursement grant, so whatever we budget for that in the future year, we already budgeted for and taxed for this year, so it won't be taxed a second time.
Right.
The project that I have that's a big concern right now on really pushing the limit that is funded by the county, not a refundable grant, is the decking. This decking project is really pushing it towards the end of this budget, and I have concerns about it getting done by October 1st. I think the contractor also has concerns, but is going to try really hard, but that fund is in Rick's budget. We budgeted $227,000 for it. We did just open the bid packages yesterday, and it was $270,000. There might be things that we could work with the contractor on. I'm not sure, but Rick and I both, I think, are concerned that at least a portion of that might not get done by September 30th.
Okay.
But, you know, $227,000 was budgeted this year for it.
We always have those projects that don't end with our fiscal year just perfectly.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, one of the biggest things on this one is just we did have to go through an A&E and just have it designed. And that took, by the time we went through the procurement process to get the architect on board, get in a contract, then by the time they got through the process of getting it designed and back to us, and now we're in the process of looking for a contractor to get the work done. I mean, we started this halfway through our fiscal 24, and now we're seeing it where we're not going to, it's not going to happen this year. We're not going to be able to get it wrapped up and done.
Not complete.
And that's the problem, is like, once we start, I know it has to be finalized and done by that September 30th. So that we can have it invoiced out so it comes out of fiscal 24. At least if the work's done by then, I know we have the month of October to get that in, but we're pushing it.
Okay.
And again, it's not on really anybody's fault. It's just the process it takes for procurement. I mean, procurement on one thing could take up to 2.5, 3 months just on one bill. So.
Well, and that you know, like Rick said, I'm pretty sure we started things in January with going out for the A&E.
Yeah.
You know, and getting to that point where we started to go out for it. So, you know, it hasn't been an idle project. Everything is just taking significantly longer, and especially when you have hiccups like, okay, you need to add a, you know, like we really should do an A&E. So,
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure.
I'm trying to figure out what I'm missing, because what I heard you say on another project was that it would be not taxed but completed in the following fiscal year. But if you're substantially completed for this year, I mean, isn't it the same thing? You're not going to tax, you're just, or does it have to do with the grant funding and timing? Okay.
So the Waterways Improvement Fund grant, the boating grant, that is all but 18% is refundable. We've done some things this year, but I've calculated what we'll need to roll over to next year, which has already been taxed this year. So it would need to be placed in next year. It wouldn't be taxed again. And also where we're at with what we would be refunded for that. So those are both calculated in this next year. We have the extension. All but 18% of that is going to be refundable. It's this decking project that was budgeted for in Rick's budget this year that is not a grant, but we're concerned it's not going to get complete. And we just opened the bids for them yesterday, so we still have to get under contract, and September 30th is right there. Does that answer the question?
I mean, yes and no, but I guess I'm failing to understand, because the timelines are there where you haven't, we know you haven't been idle on the project. It's had issues getting contractors, all that. So we're, that's a taxpayer funded item of business, and we're going to hold that and not tax again. Are you saying the weather will permit us from doing that project until next year? I guess that, I don't know why I'm not understanding.
Physically get it done in time.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, yeah. So the process, how it works, anything that's under construction has to be completed by September 30th for us, and then to be invoiced where the work was done. The work has to be done by that September 30th.
Okay.
We just don't see that work being done by September 30th.
And that part I understand, and I understand the reasons why. It's fine. Okay.
So essentially, like, it's kind of one of those things to think about, like, we wouldn't tax again for it.
Right.
Except for maybe the difference. Like we said, it you know, we budgeted 227 and it's come in at 270. And maybe that's something we can work on some things on with that construction worker. I don't know. This is where I rely heavily on Director Breton and his guidance, because my, you know, my expertise is not the construction side.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So is this easier to just put back in the budget and punt for them to start construction on in the spring next year?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Brooks, yes, if it's possible.
Or right. in the fall. Like,
or, yeah, I mean,
October.
It could start in October. I mean.
Will it get it done before weather sets in or what?
Yeah, it'd be. Yeah. It's probably a month and a half. He said right around a month and a half duration to get the project done.
And weather down in the canyon is always much better than it is anywhere else in the Treasure Valley. It's much more moderate down there.
So in all of these years, the county does not have a procedure to do a crossover project in the fiscal year?
Mr. Chair, this happens in my department quite a bit. I mean, just by the time it goes through the procurement process, there is, I mean, over my 3 years of being director, I mean, I've had just a couple, but I mean, I know that IT's probably had stuff similar to this before in the past, and I know we have, with former Director Navarro, same thing.
Mr. Chair, what we've done in the past, just talking from an IT perspective, is if it goes through the procurement process and get to the contract stage, you can actually do the contract to start on 10-1, since you've already gone through that process. You just allocate the funds in the next budget. That's what we've done in the past.
That was the piece I needed. Thank you.
Clerk, do you have any guidance on, do you have any?
Yeah, no, Chairman, For sure. So the levy for Parks and Rec was 1.6 million this year, and I think that's what Director Schwinn was referencing, that there was an increased tax this year. Normally it was sitting around 800,000 a year for most years prior, so that jump of 800,000-ish more that was taxed this year was in contemplation of some of the capital needs that were there. Those monies, if the project doesn't get funded, that money has been collected and applied to her fund. So what we would do is not levy as much next year, lower that levy back down to maybe 900,000, a million, and use some of that carry forward fund balance to fund the projects. So,
Mr. Chair, I just want to clarify that the money for the decking project is in Rick's budget, not mine. The grant projects, those are in my budget.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that case, yeah, I'm sorry, I missed that part, that it was in Rick's budget. Yeah, it would just be money not spent this year. So if he upped the capital budget for next year, how much is it?
The low bid that we got yesterday came in at 270.
Yeah.
And I had 227 allocated for it.
Okay. So we would just take a note. That would go back into his, Director Britton's capital budget request for next year.
That sounds good.
Because you need to have authorization to spend next year. So it just needs to go back into the budget.
Okay.
Brings up an interesting question, Mr. Chairman. If going forward, capital projects should actually be in the budget for which they are to be spent for this exact kind of scenario, like if we had levied with this project in Director Schwinn's budget, then it would literally be writing a check out of the fund balance rather than being accounted as unspent when we rely on that for some other things. Because some of that unspent is theoretical.
Yeah, true.
So, I don't know, discussion for some other time, but I'm still of the opinion that the project needs to happen, so.
Agreed.
Sorry. So we can track this, Clerk, that we want this to go ahead and be done. The question is the spread between the original amount that you had and the 270 that came in. I think that discussion's on the table that would have to be put into this year's budget to make that margin. And was that a complete bid? Because we're still in the process of you reviewing the bids and coming back to us.
Again, Mr. Chair, when we got the estimated cost, I mean, we didn't have a design set done.
Okay.
It was just an estimated number to redo it. And, of course, we've added some extra ADA,
right,
ADA ramps. So there's a few miscellaneous things that probably that's what the increase is. Again, we didn't have designs done. That's why I was, at the beginning of the year, I'm like telling Director Schwinn here that I was like, we need to get some architectural set of plans for this. We can't just go and try to do it without anything because of permitting and everything. So,
right.
So there has been some things that was added to it.
Okay.
Chairman?
Yes.
And Rick, you deal with a lot of contractors. If we allocate those funds and you have a bid price, is that going to be locked in? Is it because you have a gap of time between the time that you've estimated that and then the actual start?
Yeah, Mr. Commissioner Van Beek, if we would go ahead and do the contract now, kind of like the chief was stating just a little bit ago, if we get it in there, we'll just put in there that the work's going to start 10-1, it'll lock it in at that price.
Okay.
So it'll be at that current bid price that was submitted to the county, unless we see if there's something that we can take out to lower that amount to get closer to what I had budgeted. I mean, we could look at some options there too.
Yep. So we're, like when we were doing some of those through COVID, it maybe it was just not as I remember it, but it seemed like some of those bids were escalating, even though just because of supply chain and different things, those bids that you couldn't lock in a price is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner, that was kind of through the COVID time where it was changing weekly. It's not changing weekly now.
Okay.
I think we could lock it in and hold right at that that bid price.
Okay, thank you.
And we're only really looking at probably a month difference of having that, from when that contract's signed to getting the job started.
Okay. So what we know today, the original amount was what, 225 or?
227.
And what we had opened was 270.
Yeah,
okay.
274.5, if I remember correctly.
So we'll round it to 275. All right. So we'll need to, clerk, we'll need to put that spread into her budget and put that on the tax. Because if we're going to go down from 1.6 to whatever, basically around 900K, we'll need to make sure that spread of whatever 50,000 or about is going to be covered for this year.
Gotcha. Thank you, Chairman.
Yeah. Am I thinking correctly? Okay. All right. Perfect. All right. What else?
Thank you, Rick. Are there any questions about my budget? I don't want to repeat things that you've already heard.
Okay.
I'd like to hear about your program manager.
So for the park supervisor.
Park supervisor, sorry.
Yep. So
it's his program manager.
I do have a program manager. They'll start to sound the same. Yeah, so this is a request that we put in for last year. It's still something we need. I think one of the things that needs to be appreciated here is that we've got, 70 some odd acres down in the Snake River Canyon that's not near much of anything. And just because we only own 70 some odd acres doesn't mean that's what people think of or what it takes to kind of manage that area, because we are the only ones on site. We end up being the de facto go-to person for all kinds of things that happen down there. We do really well with what we have, but the quality of what we're doing could be much better, and we could have the capacity to do a lot more things. One, we're looking at increasing the user fee. That is still on my to-do list to make sure that we're at the same rate as everyone else, because right now we're quite low in our user fees, but part of the reason why we haven't changed those is it's an honor system down there. And if we had somebody who was on site that could monitor those things, and we would probably collect more money. The other thing is we have dormitories down there that right now we don't have the capacity to really be marketing those or using those. That's something that this person would do. We also have just lots more people, lots more things happening, lots more trash. We have a maintenance supervisor down there, or a maintenance coordinator down there, who does a great job, but sometimes there's more than, he needs more than just himself to do things. You know, lifting trash, taking care of things that are dumped down there, having another body. We had just recently an incident where somebody decided to off-road and got high-centered on
a rock.
Rocks down there. We did not hit the petroglyphs. And that took, three staff, like a whole day to try and figure out with the sheriff's office and the tow truck driver how in the world to get that person out of there. And that's just one of a myriad of things that happens down there that my staff is trying to deal with, that they've already got full-time work.
And I would suggest to have a Huey come in and charge them about $20,000 for lifting them off.
Right.
It might have become an urban legend that you might not want to do that down there.
Yeah. you know, and smartly, thankfully, my staff did not, they wanted him, they wanted to, or they, everyone was asking if we could use, we had a tractor down there, if we could use that to pull it out, and nope, we are not going to risk damaging any of that. So these types of things are always happening down there. Somebody's having a boat problem. Somebody's overheating. We have mechanical failures at things. There's a myriad of things that happen that we need somebody down there that can manage all that so that we have interpretive staff that can focus on being the interpretive staff and not end up having to, you know, do things that are out of their bailiwick or their job description, right? And if you look at parks of comparable size with the number of activities we have, they all have someone like this who is watching everything, overseeing it, and right now that's our programs manager that's kind of the de facto person doing this. They've already got a full-time job managing the programs. They need to be focused on the programs, but right now they're coordinating everything. You know, I have a small staff, so I say everybody just needs to roll up their sleeves and chip in, right? Other duties as assigned, but that's not ideal. The maintenance coordinator that's down there too also does a lot of site visits, so he's not always on staff or on site at Celebration Park, you know, and I think one of the things that I want to remind everyone is it can take up to 4 hours just to do the daily trash in our busy season. You know, we've got all those campsites with trash cans, so somebody has to go collect those. We've got a dumpster off-site, and so you have to be able to chuck those over into the large dumpster. And sometimes that takes two people, and we're having to coordinate, okay, you know, can you stay a few minutes and come with me and go dump this because the trash is too heavy? It's just a lot of things happening down there. We're also dealing with a large transient homeless population that will be on and off our facilities, and you know, we need to keep an eye on them not abusing our trash, our bathrooms, those types of things. And right now my staff has laptop, will travel. I would like to say there's full-time staff down there at all times, but there's not. There are times that full-time staff is at the lake for canoe science camp and running that, and maintenance coordinator is off doing site visits because we have to monitor, you know, everything from Martin Landing to Map Rock to the gun range. It's a lot.
Chairman?
Yes.
And with everything that you've said, when you hire for that, do you envision needing some type of law enforcement background or no?
I would rather leave that to the sheriff's office. I'd rather this person be a liaison.
Okay.
The coordinator. Because that is what happens, is our staff ends up being the one that calls the BLM law enforcement. Because they've got, I don't even remember how much acreage to control. So they maybe see Celebration Park, I'm guessing, once a month. They've got a lot of territory to patrol. So that's where we end up being the de facto person. But there's also the islands that would fall under Deer Flat National Wildlife Refuge. There's a Waihee County across the way. You know, we coordinate with Marine Patrol. I have staff who've, you know, had to be pulled from what they're doing to go out and help Marine Patrol.
Yeah, I know you have a lot. And are you still working on memorandums with adjoining counties for some of that or no?
No, we haven't had to with other counties.
Okay.
You know, if when Marine Patrol steps in and does that stuff, they have that stuff in place. But, you know, just like Marine Patrol is the de facto rescue team for down there, we end up being the de facto rescue team besides Marine Patrol.
Okay.
If it's on the Owyhee County, we're just the only presence down there.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a lot, and it seems to all happen on the same time, right?
Thank you for what you and your staff do. You have great staff.
And we can provide a higher quality of service. I mean, right now we've got a visitor center that's only open 10 to 2 because that's when I can guarantee staff is there. You know, I have programs manager and visitor services that are down there, but, you know, being off-site, there's a lot of times we're running errands to the courthouse here and there, so there's not an ability to really do the service between, you know, in the business hours like we could, because we just can't.
Right.
It's not physically possible.
Mm-hmm. Did that answer your question, Commissioner Brooks?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I have another one, though.
Okay.
Is the land deal going to go through this year? I see it in the budget.
I am meeting with the Vasteens on Monday. We are still just kind of in a holding pattern with BLM, but we're still pursuing all of that. Yes, I'm hopeful.
So do we foresee it happening between now and September 30th of 2025?
Oh, of 2025? I hope so.
There's a good chance.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Brooks, when we started this process, it's about a 2 or 3 year process, and we're like a year into it. So there's a pretty good chance it'll hit 25, but there is a chance it might hit 26 as well. But all systems are a go to go forward with it.
The landowner is committed to Celebration Park getting a benefit out of this one way or another. So we are also in the midst of that, looking at another property down there that's private property. So there's kind of multiple plans at play that could come into that money, purchasing land.
Did we, Mr. Chairman, did we have it in last year's as well, or the current fiscal year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in this year's budget. So we'll just roll it forward.
Chairman,
100,000 is in FY24.
Yes,
and that was actually levied in your budget.
Yeah,
correct
for parks. Yeah.
Yes. So it wouldn't be taxed again next year.
Perfect. It's just a number then sitting there. Okay.
Yeah,
that's what makes my budget very complicated with grants and certain things. You know, and I've talked with the clerk about this, is that my budget goes up and down in extremes because of the nature of the projects. But, you know, I try really hard to make sure most of them are grants that are then reimbursed. But, you know, purchasing land isn't one of those, but that was in this budget. So,
Chairman?
Yes.
And given the statements that you just made, the number that the clerk reflected earlier in the conversation includes the potential additional acquisition of land?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Is there any other questions?
I don't have any, Mr. Chairman.
Just a comment, just to confirm. I know you don't want to go into conversation, but I just want to confirm what was said earlier. The resolutions for the $35,000 transfer, the only information that has been preserved, as it says, this payment to the Parks and Recs Fund is for maintaining Jubilee Park future landfill. So that's been the root qualifier for that transfer.
All right.
That does make sense. Yep. The OHV facility. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks for the clarification.
I just wanted to remind you that I also have the Historic Preservation Commission budget. And I know, you know, you guys have some tough decisions, so I just want to remind you that with those, you know, we tried to put them in urgent, high, medium, low. You know, the urgent ones, it's two projects, $76,700 is what it would cost to do those. If you went to the high, it'd be about $92,900, you know, and so on. So we do our best to try and, you know, give you guys
some options, huh?
Yes, some options where, you know, you can't compare apples and oranges, but here's at least some comparables on urgency.
Right. Board, do you have any questions on that while it's in front of us?
I'm assuming it's in the paperwork that we initially got.
Yes.
Round one, because I don't see any notes in my favorite piece of software.
It's a different fund, so you'll have to switch from parks to
Historical Society.
It's in.
Do you have notes in there?
We had that printout.
It's probably
so. It's in your favorite three ring binder.
It's probably in requested instead of. No, it's not there.
All right.
I'll look, or I'll ask the clerk. Thanks.
On that piece, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, and as Director Schwinn was alluding to, I think the collective asks are a certain amount, and unless you want to go on the record now or sometime next week. I will, in a presented budget, have to fill in a number of what needs to be levied into the historical fund to cover those grants. And I had a conversation with Director Schwinn and kind of said, what were the most important must-haves? Because what we levy in the Historical Society this year is 50,000. I think, what's the total request, 100 and something thousand?
Total amount recommended is 134,679.
So to cover that would be, you know, 80-something thousand, which is the equivalent of an FTE position in the county that would have to be levied to cover that, because that's a pass-through. We collect the money and send it on, if you were to do all. So that's what I'm saying. On the record, there's been no indication, I think, from the commissioners on if there's prioritization that you have on what's in that request. Short of any prioritization you go on the record with in my presented budget, I will probably not put in all of those requests. I don't want to step on any toes, but I would really prioritize the high ones that Director Schwinn was mentioning on the record today to levy less to Historical Society. It would still be an increase over the 50,000 this year to go to, if you opted for the 90,000, that's almost a double increase, but not the full amount.
Right. Chairman?
Yes.
Are you okay on this? If I just ask on the, just for confirmation, you have highlighted the American Legion, Post 18, and Napa Valley Grange. Those are your recommendations at the low end. Okay.
Those are the ones with urgency to the buildings.
Right.
And SHPO, the State Historic Preservation Office, agrees on those. You know, it's pretty hard to be successful when your building has issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to keep those on the National Register and keep them as historically accurate as possible.
Right.
You know, and we make sure to let anyone that applies know that, you know, there's a chance they might not get it. And if they don't, I always just say it's not a hard no, it's a not yet. We can work with them next year on reapplying or with our historic preservation office, what we can help them with maybe looking for other funds. So,
right, and your two high priorities did get funding allocation the prior year, correct, for Middleton and Melba?
Yes.
Okay, so if we're looking at spreading it around, that would be one way to look at it. And so I am in support of what Director Schwind has identified and where she's approximately, you know, half of what we budgeted to stick with that and then try for round two next year. So, for whatever that's worth, the clerk had not received input. That's my input.
Are you receiving this?
As I said, I just, you know, I don't want to cause any unnecessary offense in making some deductions on my own in the presented budget, but I am trying to keep any increases somewhat modest, and a 50,000 to 140,000 or 139,000 jump is significant because, again, these are hard fixed costs. We would have to levy the money and then we pass it on to the project.
Right.
It's not one of those funds that, hey, we might spend only part of what we collect or whatever. It is a pass-through.
It's a pass-through. Yeah.
And the structural, that's what I see you prioritizing, are structural issues for those historic buildings. So, again, I'm still in favor of the proposal by Director Schwind, and that sounds amenable to the clerk. So the two high priorities, the red identified.
So you want the urgent?
Yes, correct. Sorry.
39,700 and 37,000?
Yes.
The urgent. The two projects that are urgent, if you look at page 13, if you have the document.
He has the color-coded document.
It would be 76,700. The high priority would be 16,200. If those two categories were done, that totals 92,900.
So basically 93K.
And I was proposing just the two urgent projects, but you're welcome to provide your input.
I'll jump on that bandwagon.
Yep, I agree. So let's put those in, clerk.
Is that the two urgent?
Yes. Okay, anything else?
I think we're good.
All right, we're good. All right.
Let's go to jail.
Yeah, we got to go to jail next. So, all right. So if that's it, you're welcome. Let's consider ourselves adjourned, and we'll do a jail tour and be back at 11:00.